Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Nicole Tekipi and Rebecca Alec. We'll hear a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guests are Nicole Tekipi and Rebecca Alec. I met up with them at the SEEK conference last year. Nicole is a Focus missionary. Rebecca is a student participating in Focus. So they're going to share their walk together with us tonight. We're now going to a reflection from the National Eucharistic Congress. I'm here at Lucas Oil Stadium. This is where the closing mass is going to be. You think about this big stadium filled with people cheering on the Indianapolis Colts. They're all focused on the Colts. They want them to succeed. You know, Paul talks about us being surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, so persevere in running the race. John in his letters say, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This fellowship of believers, this communion of saints, the saints cheering us on, the fellowship that happens through the proclamation of the gospel, that we are gathered here, we believe the same thing. We believe in Jesus Christ, suffered and died for us, and the revelation he gives us, for our salvation. Eucharist unites us as the body of Christ. I always love that at these events. I experience that. Remember that. You're part of the communion of the church. Well, Nicole, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thanks for having me.
And I met someone that was influenced by your work with Focus. You're a fourth-year missionary. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to hear something about your story and maybe some of the things you do as a missionary that's been effective.
True.
And you had a conversion experience in high school.
Yeah, I did. I grew up in a very good family, but not extremely practicing Catholics. Mm-hmm. And so when I was 16, I ended up on this retreat. It was a theology of the body immersion for teens retreat. And I had this experience and adoration in unison with what we were hearing in theology of the body. Mm-hmm. That was really powerful for me, impactful, and I knew my life can't be the same after this. Mm-hmm. So in high school, I was very much into running, so I was cross country and track. Mm-hmm. And that continued into college, but when I was in high school, it was my identity. Yeah. After I had this kind of conversion experience, then I knew that the meaning of that had to be different, had to be shifted. And then I ran track at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota, and that also quickly could have become my identity if it hadn't been rooted in the newfound love that I had for Christ.
And how would you describe, because I think so many young people are involved in sports, how do you describe that shift, that meaning shift?
Well, so often for people that grow up doing sports, it becomes their life very quickly, and they're invested in it from the time they're little. They're going to extra practices and giving everything for the sport, so they have this all-in mentality already with their sport. Once they have an encounter with Christ, though, that can be channeled to be all into their faith, and it can actually transform the culture of their team, the people around them, once they know Christ and bring that onto their team.
And the danger would be that if they don't find Christ, it becomes consuming and a false identity, or?
Totally. Yeah, they get swept up in the world, and a lot of them have these powerful platforms that they receive through doing their sport, especially if you're doing D1 sports or Big Ten sports. And it's something that can very easily become self-centered. It's something that can very easily become consuming and identifying for the person. And so what Christ does is he actually brings himself into that place as the one who defines who they are and their deepest identity as a daughter or son of God. And that transforms everything.
And it's a rough thing maybe for women too, that it's become so functional, task-oriented, driven. You know, that if you get married and become like the heart of the home and things, it seems like it's quite a shift sometimes.
Yeah.
But how do you how do you blend those worlds? Like the feminine genius that John Paul II talked about, that call as a woman, but to enjoy sports in a healthy way.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think that sometimes sports, in the all-consuming negative side of it, can distort the beauty of the human person, and especially the beauty of femininity, or stomp it out in some ways. And so the women that I look up to, I think, that are in athletics, the women that have invested in me have been women that have been able to retain this sort of sensitivity, receptivity, openness in the midst of their sport. And that's been something that has been attractive to the other women that are around them on their team, other women that look up to them and watch them on TV.
Yeah.
So.
And that's what Rebecca Alec, that we were interviewing before, drew her to your group, was the relationship between the women.
Yeah.
That, that's one thing I've noticed just superficially. I don't know, I might be naive, but it seems like with men, it's, it can become very ego-driven, personal achievement, accomplishment. It seems like women have more of a sense of team about the whole thing.
Yeah, the ability for communion in a very real way. Yeah.
Even in soccer, I know, like the Spanish women that won, they were like great passers, you know, like selflessly passing the ball a lot. And so it actually advances sports in that way.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, some of the things that you found effective, like you've been a missionary for 4 years. What are some practical things you do to bring someone to the faith?
Yeah. It all starts with an invitation. So a lot of times, since I worked with athletes, a lot of times they're not going to be the ones that are stumbling into the Newman Center happening upon.
Because they're busy.
The Catholic Church, yes, because their schedule is so, you know, already laid out for them.
Yeah.
And so what Varsity Catholic does that's really beautiful is we go to the field, we go to the track, we go to where the athletes are.
The periphery.
Yeah, and and enter into their life as it is.
Yeah.
And we're able to accompany them and invite them into a relationship with Christ where they might have not had anybody that has been there for them before or has gone out of their way to encounter them in the context in which they live, respecting that that can be a really good and beautiful thing if it's in the right context. So
you would go out, invite them to a Bible study, which Focus provides a very systematic, right, approach.
Yes, very good formation,
And, but y'all have like social times after the meeting, or it's a weekly meeting? And,
so a lot of times I'll go to their games, you know, for the soccer girls or for the volleyball, the volleyball women, I'll go to their games and support them there. And then getting to know them one-on-one outside of that is super important too, because it's all built on authentic friendship and relationship. And then from there, you're both able to encounter Christ in each other, but you're also able to grow together into a place where you're actually living the Christian life to the full extent that you're able to.
Right. So. Now, Rebecca, Alec described you as a powerhouse and bold. And you told me, though, the those pillars of the strength was the rosary and the Eucharist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all do a walking rosary through campus?
Yeah, so our team does a walking rosary through campus every morning, and oftentimes we'll walk down Greek Row or we'll walk around the stadium and we'll pray for the athletes in particular. So we have that in the morning, and then we have a holy hour after that. And I
believe this is like
that,
Lincoln, Nebraska morning, right? So it's cold sometimes, right?
We're bundled up in our jackets. But we go because we believe that the power of this mission is Jesus Christ. And if we're not united to Him, connected to Him intimately, then our mission will bear no fruit. So that really has been the powerhouse behind everything that's happened at the University of Nebraska, especially in athletics.
So you have the missionaries and then other students also join in with you.
Okay. Yeah, and there's this really beautiful relationship that athletes and non-athletes are able to have that they wouldn't normally be able to get. So it's unifying people. It's bringing them together into a community that's strong.
And you have a beautiful Newman Center, so you go and you also make a holy hour every day? Is that
every day, yep. Our team does, and we get to pray for our students that we're working with and many that we will hope come around. So it's been, there's been tremendous fruit, and I do attribute it to that time, to the divine intimacy that we're able to have that leads everything. So.
And you personally, when you know, you've been studying like theology of the body for a long time, and that spiritual maternity aspect, how have you experienced that as a missionary?
Yeah, I love these women. I love Becca and being able to be kind of an older sister role for them in some way, because I had women that did that for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And there's something so beautiful in the feminine heart, so open, so receptive, so welcoming. And a lot of times in sports that can be disintegrated. And so to be able to come back together as women and have this community where it's life-giving, it's something that people want to come into. It's a place of great hope and great life. Is really the goal. So that's been a tremendous place of hope for me as well.
Okay. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks, Father. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Rebecca, welcome to Life on the Rock. And you are a Division I volleyball player for University of Nebraska. And last year, y'all went to the national championship. And so it's big time volleyball. And volleyball is huge for women, especially in the country. Just about every high school has a program. So I wanted to talk to you about your faith. You've converted to Catholicism. And first, tell us what that experience was like, though, playing in the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you dream of, especially when you want to go play for John Cook. It's something that's always been in the conversation when you sign. And to actually be there and play against a big-time opponent like Texas, it's, I don't know, I guess like a match made in heaven.
You know?
It was an unreal experience. The emotions were high. You got all the butterflies, you know, all that good stuff.
And then earlier, right, you all played in a football stadium one time. Tell us about that. Like, how many people?
Yes. So it was Volleyball Day in Nebraska. It was August 30th on a Wednesday. And we had roughly 92,003 people in attendance to our volleyball match against UNO. So it was really, really fun.
And you're a starting player on this team that's won 5 titles, you said?
Yes, yeah, 5 national titles.
So, you know, sports, but tell us about your experience in the faith. You were raised Lutheran, and you talk about your journey as you're being drawn to people that were talking about Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Like they knew him. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it started with my friend Carly back in high school. Mm-hmm. I remember we would go like smoothie dates and stuff, and there was one particular car ride when she dropped me off. And I think I was just asking her about God, but I just remember her using his name and just kept saying Jesus in the conversation. And it kind of like started something inside me where I was like, I'd never heard anybody speak of him in such a familiar manner. Especially not in my own house. And so I thought that was really cool. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you could know somebody in such a way, especially to someone. To me, it was just an idea for a while. You know, going back in this complex of not really having a strong faith, but knowing I wanted something. And so that was pretty much the start of it.
Yeah. Or sometimes it might be embarrassing to people to talk about, but you were drawn to it.
Yes. I'd say it was a mixture of both. I thought it was weird because, you know, not even, I don't know, like the people in my own church would say his name. And when they did, it always kind of felt weird. And so I wanted to get rid of that, though. I'm like, I should know my Lord and Savior. I should be able to say Jesus, Jesus Christ, because his name, you know, people bow, people kneel to that name, and I want to know him.
Yeah. So you're at Nebraska, you got academics going on, you've got probably insane practice schedule training, and you get invited to a Bible study, right? Well, tell me about that.
Yeah, so the first Bible study was with another student athlete, and I had known her younger sister in previous years of middle school basketball. And so that was where that connection started, but it was a short-lived Bible study. And then she had mentioned that Nicole was hosting one, and so I was thrown in a group chat, and I decided to attend because I was anxious to make some friends, and I wanted to pursue Jesus and just a deeper faith. And that was pretty much where it started.
Yeah. So this is a focused Bible study. You go and what drew you to come back? What really struck you about the group?
I remember I was just kind of like in a place of struggle with myself, my relationship and sport. Just not really feeling of a lot of importance, to be completely honest. And so I just remember holding on to one thing, and I was like, I know if I just keep going, something's gonna happen. And so whether or not I get anything out of the message of that Bible study that day, I just knew that and just being in attendance of, you know, godly people and just talking about him and where people are actually reading the Bible and discussing it, I just knew that just being in that environment was gonna be good for me.
And maybe in general terms, what was the struggle? I'm hoping maybe an athlete watching this can identify with that struggle.
Sure. Yeah. I'd say like as a freshman, in high school, I didn't socialize much. You would never catch me at any of those parties or anything. But in college, especially as an athlete, it's treated more as a norm, almost as if you've made it in college and it's the end goal, when in reality, there's a lot of athletes that are pursuing a career after college. But I think even non-athletes are told, you know, college are the best years of your life. Go and exhaust yourself with romance and alcohol and all that stuff. And that's the exact same thing I was told.
Yeah.
And I kind of fell into that trap when I first got to college. And I'm not proud of it, but I will say the learning curve that I had gone through was another reason I like to believe I'm deep-rooted in my faith.
Yeah.
And so the struggle was mostly just kind of fighting that voice in your head, like, oh, I want to go out and I want to meet all these people and maybe find somebody that I'm interested in. And when the time would actually go, you don't even think and you just do it what everyone else is doing. And then by Sunday, you feel guilty and embarrassed to even be in church. And that cycle was exhausting. And I don't even think I started classes yet.
Yeah.
And so the idea that I was going to be starting season soon, I wanted to get my mind right. And also, I just felt like I was losing God. I felt like I was growing distance from him. It felt like I was pushing him to the side on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And it's a weird kind of pull and tug going on in like my mind and my heart, where I just wanted some consistency.
Yeah.
And I knew that kind of the decisions I was making, it wasn't going to end well with me.
Yeah.
And I knew that I couldn't have the best of both worlds, essentially.
Right.
Like it just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
And that was kind of when it started. I was like, okay, I need to start saying no. I need to start doing something about this.
Yeah. And it sounds like the message too is like, get God right. Marriage and family, great things, but get the God part right.
Right.
But when you went to the Bible studies, one thing that drew you, told me, was too the relationship between the women.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was just how well they knew each other and how well they spoke of each other. Mm-hmm. It was nice to be in an environment where everyone was pursuing the same things. Like, they're not just friends because of superficial things. Like, they come together out of a sisterhood. Like, they're all daughters in Christ. They are sisters in Christ. And they actually lived it. And so that was really cool to see. You don't see, you know, certain people at a party for a reason, because they're most likely with each other trying to avoid falling into sin. You know, they're just taking themselves out of the equation.
Yeah.
And that alone spoke volumes to me, because I think one of the easiest ways to kind of avoid certain sins is don't even put yourself in the situation. And that's exactly what they did.
Right.
And then it grew to a point where they never even wanted to do those things. And that blew my mind.
Yeah.
That I'm like, you started in the environment, then you slowly took yourself out, and now you don't even want to do it. And I was like, okay, it is possible that I can actually not want to do these sinful things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the way they treated one another, confided in each other, and just their consistency of not only do they hang out at Bible studies, but they hang out in the academic center after practice and stuff like that.
And even the way the men treated you.
Yes.
It
was weird to be in an environment where you didn't feel gawked at.
Yeah.
And you didn't feel like they wanted something from you. You didn't feel like there was never needed to be an exchange. It was just them wanting to treat you with dignity and respect, which I now know as a woman we deserve.
Yeah.
As daughters in Christ. I mean, we were the gift to Adam.
Right.
And it was weird to actually believe that.
Yeah.
Because I was only ever told that, but no one ever put it where...
To experience.
Yeah, and it was relatable. Like, am a gift. And so that was really cool to experience.
And you wind up becoming Catholic. We just have like a minute. Tell me about the Eucharist. That struck you?
Yeah, that was a great time. So it was actually here at Seek last year that it was during adoration. I didn't really know what was going on, but when they put all of the lights on the Eucharist and everything, it was an unreal experience, and it brought me to my knees. I couldn't understand a lot of what was going on, but there was just something going on inside of me, and I just remember like sobbing and just being in an emotional mess. And when I kind of got myself together, I was sitting next to Sarah Weber, and she gave me her rosary that her grandma actually gave her, and her and Haley, they wrote down all the prayers for the rosary. And so I was saying it, and this was also around the time that they were bringing the Eucharist around and walking it for everyone to see. And I lost it for a second because a man was blocking my view. And I was gifted with this vision of a man in a white robe and a beard and like a gold, kind of like the ropes that you were wearing. And
a cincture maybe.
Yes. And I just feel like the words I'm saying right now don't really do it justice because it felt real.
Right.
Like if I wanted to, I could go and like touch him and be with him.
Yeah.
And then in that same instant, he was gone because I could again see it. Yeah. And this was actually before I knew it was the body of Christ. And so I was like,
what just happened?
This is a game changer. I was like, this is amazing.
All right.
And so it was really the beginning. I'm like, if this is who they say he is, I'm like, this changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like a kind of an answer to that longing you had when just hearing about Jesus earlier. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Being Life on the Rock. I wanted to interview these two young women, Nicole being the missionary, Rebecca being a student in Nebraska and a high-level volleyball player there. Nicole talked about it, but like her point was that she went out to the sports fields to meet the athletes, right? To get to know them and evangelize with them. They spoke so highly of Nicole, some of the young women that she worked with. I wanted to interview her and see how she did it, you know, how she was so successful. And that was going out to them, you know, not waiting for people to come to her. And Rebecca's got a great story there of just wanting a personal relationship with Christ. When she heard somebody talk about Jesus as a real person, it drew her in. She didn't know you could have that with God. And also, I liked Rebecca's point about just going out to hang with these focused missionaries and the people they worked with, you know, in these Bible studies. Even though she didn't get it, maybe didn't strike her at first when she went, she knew she had to just hang out with them. You know, it would help her. And I think that's so key, too. Hang out with fellow Christians. Hang out with the community of believers. And let people share their faith with you if you're struggling. So I'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He fill your heart with every good gift and blessing. May God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
No words to say the way I feel. Mother and child never seen but one.